chapter 4, the book of Proverbs, into the fourth chapter. Again, we're going to be focusing on the child's heart, and tonight changing the heart of the child. Consider several truths together. Again, it's interesting how the Lord led me separately and at totally different times to preach and to really draw a conclusion from the same chapter later on, 1 Peter chapter 3, as I did this morning. Let me ask you a question. Does your child's heart need to be changed? Or if you have a grandchild, does grandchild's heart need to be changed? Some of you are now influencing your grandchildren. Probably most parents would say most definitely, and probably most grandparents would say no. Their grandchild's heart doesn't need change. But the reality of it is, the Word of God teaches us, because of our birth and because of the sinfulness, even a child's heart needs to be changed. The Word of God teaches us several truths. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. A child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Isn't it a shame, speaking of shame, isn't it a shame of the way children are being raised today, especially in the world around us? And often the parents leave the child to almost raise themselves to their own. They can make their own decisions and determine their own direction and how much they want to use their phones and how much they want to use their tablets and so forth. And then the parents are distraught in the direction their children go. Well, the Bible teaches us a basic principle. If you leave a child to themselves and let them raise themselves, it's going to bring you shame. And that's a truth that we have seen borne out many, many times. David confessed. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So he recognized from the very beginning, from the very birth, even as a child, he was fallen. The Word of God teaches even as a child, they go away from the womb speaking lies. Job would say, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" So if you got something unclean, who can bring something clean out of that? And the answer is not one. And so again, the Word of God teaches us that a child's heart is bound in foolishness and needs to be changed. And tonight, we're going to focus a little bit on that. Some of this will be a little bit of pulling together some truths from a message, two messages about 3 months ago. But tonight I want to just focus on the heart. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a heart that needed not to be changed, the heart of our Savior. Father, sadly, so many people only see Him as a child and only worship Him or even think about Him around Christmas time. But how there's so much more to the life of Christ, and especially the death, burial, and resurrection. Father, for us, we dwell so much upon really the resurrection of Christ. As your children, we understand Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins. Father, you've blessed so many homes with children, grandchildren, homes that will have children in the years to come if your son so tarries. And so I pray that we will understand the necessity of dealing with the heart and an understanding on how to appeal to that heart and to bring about change. And so guide us in the time that we have together. May we focus briefly here, but focus well on your scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we want to target the heart tonight. And the reason we want to target the heart rather than just the external activities that we see, no doubt sometimes it's the external activities we see or even the words that they speak that kind of bring us embarrassment and bring us shame as parents and grandparents. But we have to recognize it's the heart that we really need to focus our attention on. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And the reason is, I think stated here clearly in Proverbs chapter 4 in the 23rd verse, a rather familiar verse, but maybe the first time you're hearing it or hearing it spoken about, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Out of that heart is the the center of control, so to speak, of our lives. So whatever's going on in our heart. Now, what does the heart include? Well, the Word of God teaches us, and we focused a little bit of time and attention on this on Wednesday night the other week. The heart focus, or the heart means that will, the desire. It's the seat of our passions, our appetite. So all of those things are welled up in our heart. So when we have a will to do something, we have desires to do something, that all is formulated in the heart and then comes out in life. Well, the Bible teaches us we need to guard it. We need to guard that heart, keep it from ensuing physical passions and desires, and because we recognize, because out of it are going to, it's going to flow the issues of life. In fact, take a moment now to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to show you two more verses because it'll ultimately lead us to Peter, where I want to focus on at the very end. By the way, this is Solomon speaking to his son. And without this type of training, I don't think your child will not naturally do this. Your child won't naturally guard their heart going through life. If anything, they're going to notice that some of the things that they are doing is bringing shame to themselves, bringing shame to their parents, bringing shame to the people around them, even their friends. And because of that, they're going to stop doing some things or stop saying some things merely because of the outward effect that it's having. But the Bible teaches us to look beyond that and go to the heart. So I believe it's important for the parent to get to the heart of their child and also teach the child the importance of diligently keeping their own heart. Because again, one day they're going to walk out the door, so to speak, and begin to establish their own home, and they're going to fix their own decisions, and mom and dad are going to lose that control because they're now dwelling on their own and living on their own. That's the Bible way it has established it. And you want them to be keeping or guarding their own heart when they do so. So if you don't work on their heart and you don't teach them how, once they leave the home, again, they're just going to be focusing on the externals. Well, look what it says here, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19, where again, it gives the New Testament idea of what we've already heard in the Old Testament. For out of the heart proceedeth, now look at this, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Look at that laundry list of despicable sins and the wide variety of it here mentioned. He's talking about evil thoughts. I think we almost all automatically just naturally say, yeah, well, if you got evil thoughts, there's something wrong with your heart. Then he goes on to say murders, adulteries and fornications, intimate desires before and after marriage for someone that the Lord does not intend to for us to meet those desires. Thefts? I don't know. How often have we stopped and thought, you know, if somebody's being a thief, there's something wrong with their heart. There's a heart issue. And by the way, we've got to figure out what is the heart issue. It's causing them to be a thief or a false witness or somebody who's blaspheming. Now turn over with me to Luke. Luke chapter 6. So again, there's not just a few things that are coming out of the heart or one kind of sin that's coming out of the heart. There's all kinds of things that will ultimately come out of your child's heart. Now, hopefully, though sadly we're hearing of very young ages now of murders and even illicit type sins and lying and so forth, but generally, we don't have this in our very young people, but recognize, again, if we lay that heart go, what a sad and shameful end it's going to have. Look what again what the Lord says in Luke chapter 6, this time verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So a good man is storing up good desires, good longings, a heart that's seeking the Lord, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So again, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we focus on all the externals, but when our child sins, we have to not only identify what they've done wrong, but probably, I would have to say this, more importantly, why they've done it. And get to that heart issue. If you try to change their behavior, hey, you need to stop doing that. You try to change that behavior without understanding what's going on in the heart, you won't actually change the child. That behavior may change, that behavior may stop, but whatever's going on in the heart just is going to come out in a different area of their life. I was talking to somebody a little while back, and they were coming to me and just wanting some help in their life, and as we were talking about it, they identified in this one area of their life that they are really selfish. And they're doing it. It's all about them. And the reason they're having trouble in their various relationships because they're really selfish. And so I said, are there any other areas of your life that you're selfish? Well, it kind of came slow at first. But then after a while, this area and that area. And all of a sudden they recognize they need to deal with their heart because of how selfish it is. And if they deal with the selfishness in their heart, it can take down a multitude of sins. So again, parents, we don't want to just deal with, hey, you need to stop doing this, you need to quit doing that. And I think if we're not careful, that's our aim, that's our method. What we have to actually do is try to get in and identify what's going on in the heart of our child and then deal with the heart issue. What does the scripture say? It's coming out of them. Have you ever heard somebody, usually the people who say this are the criminals of the world, but have you ever heard somebody say, and this, I'm sure I've said something like this and others have as well, I don't know where that came. I'm not like that. I don't know why I did that. I'm not that type of person. Well, we've learned an old phrase, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Okay? Blood's not going to come out of the turnip because it's not in there. Charles Dickens wrote, blood cannot be obtained of a stone. That was his interpretation. I guess he wanted to put a different spin on it. That's Charles Dickens' words. The idea there is what is coming out is what's in there. Now, it may take pressure like grapes bringing forth grape juice. It might take heat like dross coming forth out of silver. Or it may just be an overflowing like the Pharisees. They just had so much wickedness in them, it just was overflowing. Partly because they just never dealt with it. They saw themselves as self-righteous. Listen to some testimonies tonight. Some people that I really believe are very humble people always talk about how proud they are. And that amazes me. They see themselves as proud. I guess that's why we see them as humble. Listen to what the Lord said in Proverbs. He says, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And so what happens is, you know, people are shocked. You know, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. That's not me. That's not the kind of person I am. Or in testimony, I don't believe they did that. She did that. That's not the kind of people they are. Well, we have to recognize sometimes under pressure, sometimes under heat, sometimes it's just because of who we are, that this ultimately comes out. And so sometimes in the right scenario, the right situation, the Lord is allowing the heart of your child to be exposed. That's why I think it's important. Don't just deal with the fruit. Actually dig at the root. Turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 Peter chapter 3. It'll take us a little bit to get there. Now, Christ, of course, is the master and so is his Father. When dealing with people, they were really good at asking what? Asking questions. I talked about this several months ago, specifically in Sunday school, actually. But as the Lord knew where Adam and Eve were, the Lord knew what Cain did. Not only the first time with the sacrifice, but when he asked, "Where is thy brother?" The Lord knew. But what the Lord was trying to do, he didn't want to just deal with the externals. He wanted to get to the heart and to probe the heart. I think as a parent, one of the very necessities you need to do in parenting is not initially just attack the thing that they did, the what, but begin to probe to find out the why. And to begin to ask questions. We talked about that again in one of the messages 3 to 4 months ago. So I'm not going to dwell on that very long at all. But I would encourage you, parent, first of all, identify what you saw they did was wrong. And don't assume you know exactly why they did it, or even if you do know exactly why they did it, make them divulge that information. Again, because what you're teaching is not only do you want to get at their heart, but what you're teaching is ultimately you want them to be able to identify their own heart the older they get, so that they don't need mom and dad to be there. So that they can begin to identify what's going on in their heart. And when they do something wrong then at 23 or 25 or 29 or whatever, and they're out of their home and out of your home and living on their own, and they do something, they go, "Man, what was in my heart?" They'll ask the question, "Well, what was in my heart?" Again, because you want them, the older they get in life, when you're no longer the one restraining them, "Wherewithal shall a child cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word." So when the child gets on their own, what's going to keep them clean? And it ought to be then the word of God. By the way, then, you want to teach your child then to use the word of God to identify what's right and wrong about their heart. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 that the Word of God is as a sword, and it pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so you want that child to be able to identify ultimately what is going on in their heart and understand that. Now, do you still need to discipline the action? Yes, that still needs to be dealt with. But to merely restrain the action or discipline them for the action and never get to the heart is you're going to fail to really change the child. So you might ultimately find out you're probing several different sins in a period of a week or a month, and it keeps going back to the same heart issue. And then the more you flesh that out, the more possibility that you will see for change. Yeah, your child goes through one period in life asking why, and asking why, and asking why, and you get tired of answering that. No wonder they never want to ask why as they get older. You put them off when they were asking why. I think of it as a parent, as much as you can, when a child is asking why questions, try to answer them, because it's not going to be long. They're going to quit asking questions. And I think what we need to do is get to continually asking and trying to get to the heart of why. So again, and when the child does sin, don't act like you've never done it. "I can't believe you lied." As if you never did. Now again, you might be taken back by their lying, and you definitely have to address their lying, but sometimes I think we act as if we've never fallen. And what I think, again, what we do is create this huge gulf. I mean, I can't believe you would do so. I can't believe a child of so-and-so would ever do something like that. Or I can't believe you talk to her like that. And again, if we're not careful, we're going to treat our children as if we've never done anything like that. And if we're not careful, again, we're going to close up that heart. We need to expose that heart. We need to teach them that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. They need to understand being tempted isn't a sin. But when they acted upon that temptation, that was a sin. And we need to teach them that God is going to make a way of escape. And again, if you're going to change your child's heart, you need to get them to stop and think about, okay, other people have been tempted in a similar way. Now, what should I be doing instead? What is the way of escape that God is preparing for me? Again, we're trying to change that child's heart so that the older they get, they can think through and rationally develop their own thinking and be able to discern between good and evil and what's going on in their heart that they would want to say such a thing or want to do such a thing, and then develop the changes. Okay, that what should I be doing? Again, let's just think briefly about the message I preached this morning. I don't want to go that direction. I want to go the message, direct the message a little bit different. But again, as we have children and we teach them, hey, if somebody takes something from you, what are you supposed to do? Just walk away. But again, we're in a sense teaching them to fall short of the glory of God. What we ought to be teaching them, instead of just walking away and finding something else to do or whatever, we ought to be teaching them how to build a relationship with someone and how to be a blessing to someone who's actually taking things from us. Or again, if they become bullied or mistreated. I was reading through a book to help my own heart in preparing for this series and teaching. And one of the things that he brought up within this book was the bullying aspect. And he said, you know, we teach our kids when they're bullied to learn to just walk away and don't say anything and to just go a different way. And he said, you know, we actually aren't teaching them to obey the Word of God. The Word of God says, yes, look here, Peter chapter 3. We are not to render evil for evil, verse number 9, or railing for railing, but we're to do contrarywise. Now, we made the application this morning primarily to adults. Let's make the application this evening then to children and parenting our children. Again, then, we want to teach our children not to do evil to those that are doing evil to them, not to rail on them or bully somebody that is bullying them, but what we are trying to teach them to do something contrarywise, being a blessing. Look at verse number 11. Let them eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And again, the idea seek was to search for something, and to ensue it was to run after it. And so again, we need to teach our children, okay, if someone is mistreating you, I not only don't want you to mistreat them back, but I want you to try to find a way. This would really be pleasing to God. This would be a pearl of great price in God's eyes if you would find a way to try to be a blessing to them. You would try to seek peace and ensue it. Again, I think in parenting, we kind of reward the kid that's fastest in the home. You know, the first kid that gets the toy, they get to keep it, and somebody else can't take it from them. Again, if you're not careful, you've got a child selfish wanting to keep a toy, and a child selfish that's wanting to get the toy. We have to probe the heart. We have to establish what is going on in their heart, what makes them not want to share, and what makes a child want to keep something isolated from someone else. So again, as in our parenting, we need to really work at getting to the heart and developing a complete obedience. I'm looking here again at these words just jumping off the page at me because they're marked of how we're to teach them to be contrarywise. Don't just not do anything, but I want you on the flip side of that to try to be a blessing, to do good toward them, to seek peace and ensue it. Let me ask you, how many of you had to teach your child when they don't get what they want to fuss or cry or to take something else from them or to pinch them or to push them? How many of you had to teach your children to do that? They were flesh responses, weren't they? But what you do have to teach them, this won't come natural if a child takes something from them, to learn how to be a blessing to that child and learn how to develop a friendship with them anyway. That is something that needs to be taught. again, so we need to get to the heart so we can develop these type of things. That's why, in a way, I like to look at it, and I think one book has been well titled, and we're shepherding that heart. Why? Oh, well, we're feeding that heart, we're guiding that heart, we're exposing that heart, we're dealing with that heart, we're at sometimes consoling that heart. So again, parent, recognize it, and grandparent, recognize this, it's out of the heart. All these things can proceed. What we want to do is, first of all, begin to guard their heart, because they're not going to know how to guard their heart on their own. But we also want to continue to teach that so that as they get older, they can begin to expose and develop and guard their own heart. What did David say? Search me, O God, and know my heart. David ultimately learned that he had to have his heart exposed to see why things were happening in his life. And that's what you want to teach in developing and working with your children. Let's close with a word of prayer tonight.